Okay, we are page 516. We are in the middle of Siman Shin Sadi Aleph, Si'if Aleph. We discussed yesterday, we're up to the we did the Hagah, we're up to the Mechaber where it says Bameh Dvarim Amurim. It's right in the middle of the page. It's four lines from the top. Bameh Dvarim Amurim Besar She'en Abatim Shalom. And I want to do with you the Dirshu on the left side. Let's review what's the concept we had yesterday. We learned yesterday about the Indian of Schira Smokim from all of the non-Jews in a large community. So far we've been discussing a little chotzer or a mavoi. What happens in a city where you have our example we had yesterday was we had 100,000 people in a community and 30,000 Jews and 70,000 non-Jews. So what do? So it says here in the Mechaber and the Ramah that we go to the Sar Ho'ir. We go to the mayor. We go to the governor. And we rent the Rishus from the entire community through him. He will be the representative. The problem was, the Mechaber says, you can't do that. You have to go to every single person individually. Along came the Ramah, and the Ramah told us something which is extremely important, is that in a situation where you don't, where the Tsar, even though the Tsar does not necessarily have authority over the property of every single non-Jew, but the Tsar does have authority over the streets. And therefore, it does work to rent the Rishus from the Tsar in order to allow the Jews to carry from their homes into the street and into the and from one Jewish home to another Jewish home. But, halacha lemaisa, you're not, depending on the situation, we're going to read a little bit more now in the Dirshu, but generally from the Ramah itself, it would come out in the situation of a community, Erev, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos from your home into the home of a non-Jew. Unless you did Schiras Makom from the non-Jew. But if you don't did Schiras Makom through the Tsar, through the mayor only has authority over the streets, does not have authority over the individual homes, and therefore you can carry in the street, but you cannot carry into the home of a non-Jew. Now let's see the Dirshu. The Dirshu talks, he mentions, he throws out a couple of things which you have to follow up. Nothing here is absolute. There are many opinions, and it's not 100% clear, but it's on the left side, number 10. Okay, we'll run through it very quickly. But again, the left side, on page 516, on the next page, following page, Dafka mehamamuna al zeh kamo shakarin, number 10. Dafka mehamuna al zeh kamo shakarin politze. The police. That's he's one from the Mishnah Berurah. Be'inyin schiris me'ashulten bitkufos yoseh me'uchoros. What about renting from the mayor in later periods of time? Mishnu is talking about his time. He's talking about in Russia. In Russia, they would, I don't know, the whole hierarchy of government. There's something called the Politze. The Politze. And then he talks about people in the military. We didn't do the Mishnu Berurah, but basically there's the military. He talks about from the different parts of the government. Be'inyin schiras me'ashulten b'tkufos yoseh me'uchoros b'shal shuvos sholom eshef. Hey, Hashem, Shas Shuvas Yeshuas Yaakov. Shesachar Harishus me Yehudi Baal Milchama. He went and he rented Rishus from the Baal Milchama Shakarin. I don't know what that word is. A corporal. Kevan Sheyesh La Rishus Lahamid Anshe Milchama Babatim. So he's talking about a different coup. He's not talking about America, obviously. He's talking about just wants to get us going. That what happens if the military has permission to station their troops in your home? I do not know what the law is in the United States. United States, let's say...
It's against the Constitution.
Yeah. It's against the Constitution. Now let's put that. Now let's say it's martial law. What?
Quartering.
I don't say it's martial law. Let's say the president declares martial law.
Martial law is different. That's when the military acts as the police.
And do they have the right to station their soldiers in your home?
No.
It's
like a contingent right. That house on King's Highway where the Hessian soldiers were quartered, you know, East 22nd Street and King's Highway, you can see the house.
Yeah. That big massive house over there is a massive house there with a massive lawn. So what, they had soldiers there stationed?
The Revolutionary War, the Hessian soldiers were in that house.
So that's a landmark?
Yeah.
Wow. So how old is that house? That house is, that's 200 years old, that house? I was once pissed, I was like, Marvin, what's this? So that's what you're telling me, wow, that's what they had the soldiers.
They their names in the window panes.
Fascinating, okay. So here, what about if you have, talking about over here, I don't know where he's referring to, in Poland perhaps, Kevin Shiesh Lo Rishus Lahamid Anshim Mocham Bebatim, Be'ashol Be'ashol Mefakfeg, so it appears there was a story, when they did Schirus Rishus, they made it in a community Erev, and they did Schirus Rishus from the corporal. the local, the resident representative of the army, because it seems at this point in time they did have permission to station soldiers in your home against your will. Umishum, why? But the Sholem Eshev did not like this. The corporal is a temporary position. He can be released from his position. He's not the ultimate authority. Okay. Then he talks about what about the mayor? Or what about the person to whom the taxes go? So he holds that the army is not a middle officer in the army. Someone that's not the very top is not necessarily the authority which you can run from, because he's not the top authority. But what about running from the person who gets the taxes? That year. So Sholem Eshev says, if you don't pay your taxes, what happens if you don't pay your tax? You will say tax to the city. Can they seize your house?
Some places, yes.
So the Sholem Eshev seems to say that's enough. Even though right now, as long as you pay your tax, they have no right to touch your house. If you fail to pay your taxes, they can seize your house. That is enough of an authority which represents the community, and you can rent from them, and that will allow you to carry even into those homes. Okay, but since Ein Hachanam, you have to first not pay the tax, a lot of steps. But since ultimately they will have the authority, he is of the opinion that it is sufficient. I'm just throwing out different ideas. Okay, halacha lemaisa, it's not really clear. I told you yesterday, halacha lemaisa, it appears that we'll make it because of utility, because of gas, water, sewage. That's what it really it says. I think of Moshe, of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and of Moshe. I think that's the bottom line why Bisman said it does work, because they didn't have these things in ancient times where there was plumbing. There was water going into your home that was controlled by the city, when there was sewage inside your home, when there was electricity and gas. These are new things which first came into existence much later on. And Radin, they had plumbing? In Radin, I don't know. It's not, what? Maybe they did. I don't know. They already had plumbing at that point in time in other parts of the world. I don't know exactly what happened there. But today, I think we're very lenient because of these reasons. We'll see a little bit of what's going on a little bit. But right now, we already brought out two different points. The army. So first, let's say if the person in the army is not, even if they have permission to station troops in your home, if they're not a person that has the ultimate authority, it's just a low-level ranking officer, that's not sufficient. Another suggestion is if you don't pay tax, can they seize your property? Many people are very lean. They hold that that's enough. Real estate tax is enough. The Hagoyin Rabbi Yisrael Kanievsky. Okay, this refers to the stipler. Not Rav Chaim, but Rav Chaim Chanievsky's father, the stipler, Kosav Lefakvek, but he disagrees. Mishum She'ein Lechem Shum Koyach B'Dirois Pratis, U'mash Be'ezim Mekar Miesh Lechem Eze Shalita L'hach Mestavarim B'Botech HaTayshavim V'Kol Shkein HaTzavo She'Bezman Mulchama Yuchom Lassos Harbi Dvarim B'Botem Pratim V'Kol Mokom Ein Ze B'Tara Shalita V'Kinyan Al-Bayis Raku B'Tara Shalita Al-Odom. So he talks about Rav Chaim, he talks specifically about the army. When the army has a right to station soldiers, if they do have such a right, that's not because they have rishus over your home. They have authority over you. There's a war, and every citizen must help. How are you going to help? You're going to give us your house. So it's not because the government controls your home. The government controls you. That's not what we need to accomplish with regard to Schiras Rishus. When it comes to Schiras Rishus, in order to carry on Shabbos, we need the Rishus. We need the domain, not the Shlita over the person. Even though they would, traditionally, they would rent from the mayor. So he is Sheva Levi, is living there at the Shul of Wozner. Avosin is one of the senior poskim of Eretz Yisrael. He says, "Hayom nishtanu chokei hamelucha, or rishus shel elu lahalikones mugvelas yoiser." There are much greater limitations in modern times what the government can do in your house, and therefore that's not sufficient. However, he is leaning mikol makom b'shasatcha kosav l'tzoyf knitza kesnith esvaras haginas v'radim shebazmaneinu ein tam lahatzach schirus. I don't know what he's referring to. I didn't look it up. Oid kasav shabiz manenu ein lanu shum mitzir shal sar moishal sheyesh lo koyach lichvoitz v'lo hoishiv anoshim bebatim apil b'shas mochama. He said, today does not exist such a thing where you can force people to give up their homes for soldiers. U'b'shailas ha'tshuva sinachas Yitzchak mungach kasav shemedina zu Eretz Yisrael dina kimuchas ha'imed me'ela v'yevshal liskol mimenu rishos. He holds an Eretz Yisrael as a tax collector which is a certain type of tax collector which does not work. He's very machmer. He holds that if you have non-Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, those non-Jews, there is, even though the government has the ultimate control over them, however they own their property, that's the way the government is set up, and you cannot rent from the mayor, it's not going to help. So we're in a lot of trouble. Or the Sefer Chochma Salev, Herich Benin Koyach HaShulten, B'yomenu, Fevi Yestas HaGoyin Rab Yosef Shlomo Al Yashuv, he brings Al Yashuv, Shlita, She'ein Slismech Al Schiris Shel Gormei HaShulten, Oy Shel HaTzava V'hamistra, Oy Shel HaIra. He agrees also that Bizman Azeh, it's not going to help any from the mayor. Ubekundritz takonas ha'eruv hevi yestas ha'goin rav nosen karelitz. She omna mitzad. No. It's a relative. It's not the Chazanish. He's Avraham Yishai. The Chazanish was Avraham Yishai Karelitz. She omna mitzad smichos hashulten in liskamehem avol. He has a heter. Yesh machloch b'diyevet luska migizbori ho'ira machmas moine hamayim. Okay, this comes what it says. The water. Sheyesh l'mechedrei hamad regos v'chein mecheres hachashmal electricity. Machmas moine hachashmal. Let's go further. We'll say for Orcha Shabbos. Hevi shagoyin av shlom zalman arbach. Hekel lismich al schiris Mavui koyach hashulton kevin sheish lichlal hashulton zukus bebotim shas chayim chodas aginas veradim. Okay, then he goes rei mashal kasavnu b'mirlochal elstim, and I looked up Shin Pei Beis. Basically, there he talks about electricity and water and sewage and gas that I think of Moshe says that being the bisman hazeh. There's another halacha that if a person has a right to deposit their objects in someone else's home, that person already has authority to represent the people living there. And since the government has a right to deposit their electricity and their gas and their water, and they control the sewage that comes from the homes in other people's home, in other people's buildings, in your private house, that has shown that the government has extended their hands, their claws into your private property. It's they have a right in your home, and therefore they can represent these individuals as far as schiras rishus is concerned. So when you go to the mayor is a representative of Conet, representative of.
He has his water meter in your basement.
It's more than the water meter; it's the water itself. It's the water itself. Yeah. Right, the water, the electricity, and all of the utilities, all of these things that we use today, this is something which is new. It's relatively new. Certainly, what? This did not exist in Poland. Go back 100 years ago.
Come in to read the meters. Can someone say that...
We don't want to allow you in.
I'll give you an estimate. But can you say, do you have the right to say that? Right?
But it comes a certain point
so
in time.
Really, they don't have the authority unless you say, okay.
But it's their meter. It's their meter. Right. It's,
they can say, we'll take out your meter. No.
I don't know the laws. But this.
It's our meter.
This, and that's new. This is a new, this is a modern thing. Years ago, go back 100 years in Poland. You have property. If the way the government has said that it's your property, it's yours. There's nothing in this, in these walls that the government has anything to do with. There's no water. There's no electricity. There's no gas. It's my house. I draw the water from the well. I bring it into my home. I bring in fuel to heat the oven, so on and so forth. This is a whole new thing today, where you live in a home and water comes in, electricity comes in, gas comes in, sewage goes out. This connects us all to the... You have an internet line. You have telephone lines, right? These are all of these things. All of these things connect us all to the outside world, and the government, which controls all of these things, automatically serves as a representative of all of society. And when we rent from the mayor, Mimela, we accomplish everything. And it appears that you're even allowed, with the modern day era, allowed to bring your possessions into the home of a non-Jew, because it's better than what the Mechaber and Ramah are describing in Spain and in Europe and Poland and all of the lands of our exile. Yeah.
All the things that you mentioned, except for water, are privately held.
They're privately held, but it's monitored and by the government.
No.
The government has no control over the gasoline and electricity.
No, it's Con Ed.
But it's
the water is the only thing that the state.
Even Con Ed is a quasi government agency.
No, it's not. It's a regulated.
It's regulated. I'm sure this.
Very regulated.
They wouldn't be striking though.
All their wire is running.
Yeah, but they have permission.
Okay, I don't know the details.
Very regulated.
But there is.
You can't double your price tomorrow.
I hear your question. Where do you draw the line between everything eventually goes back to the government to a certain degree? We live in, okay, but on the other hand, it's privately owned. Where do you draw the line? I don't know the answer. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I just told you, these things are just throwing these things out. What it says here.
If people have generators in their houses, so you could say they can't make an error.
If someone is completely cut off, so those people in a chanami, you would not be able to bring something from your. If there's a guy who lives in a garage, he lives in the garage, and there's no electricity, he lives there. Are you allowed. What?
He has a generator.
An RV. Let's say you have a guy sitting who has an RV. Totally independent, right? He comes in, and it's, you know, let's say you're in a community where there's an Erev, and you want to be able to bring from your home into his RV. How you can't do it. You're right. He's completely independent. No one represented him. When the Schiras Rishus was done, so the Schiras Rishus, he's here in the state. He's here in the city. So the mayor has a right over the streets. That was rented from the mayor. But to walk into his home, to walk into his garage or his RV, right. Then it's, this is a very important halacha, when it says in Muhammad Ramah, you're not allowed to carry from your home into the home of a non-Jew, where the non-Jew cuts himself off from the rest of society in these matters. That's what will come out.
The RV has a license plate and the driver has a driver's license, and the government is watching it.
Probably. Even though his government, okay, I don't know. Where do you draw the line? Okay, here you're saying. Where do you draw the line? Okay, that property. There's nothing inside. There's nothing that's the property of the government. That's inside. The license plate is the property. Who owns the license plate on your car? I don't know. Who owns it?
You have to give it back.
So that's a very interesting idea. They have a right on your thing. They actually own it. You have to give it back. You're renting, it costs a lot of money in the license plate. It costs $100, over $100.
You get a rebate if you don't use it for the entire period of time, they give you back money.
Very interesting. So you're really renting, you're renting it from them.
I don't know.
That's very interesting. All these things are very interesting.
They didn't have any such arrangements.
I don't know. Well, Germany was very modern. I mean, talk about Germany and France, the European nations before the war, go back even 100 years, even before World War I, they were very far advanced, probably even more advanced than the United States at that time. They were the most advanced countries, and I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, let's go further. Now we go back to the Mechaber. The Mechaber. Let's just finish up the Mechaber. B'sar she'ein habatim shelo. When do we apply all these rules? That's only regard a sar she'ein. Habotim shelo does not own the bottom. Vagam ein loy reshus l'shamesh b'botei b'nehu ir klal. Afilu b'shas milchama. When do we learn that all the halos above? That the sar does not have authority to represent you. That's only a sar that does not own the bottom. I guess talking about communism and socialism. I assume in those societies, the government owns everything. Is that the way it works? In Russia, who before the fall of the Soviet Union, who owned the property? I assume the government. Isn't that the whole principle of communism?
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. So don't you have it in that Israel, you only lease your property from the government?
I don't know. But when do we say this rule where you don't have authority, that the government does not have authority to represent you, is where they do not own your property? She'ein habotim shelo v'gam ein loy reshus l'shamish v'botei b'nei ir klal. Afilu b'shas milchama av v'mokam shekol tzorcho ir einam nasim illa al pi hasar oy hamamun shelo. But in a situation where the government has a hand control in your property to some degree, vadai, it is certain, she'schirus me'asar ha'hu o mischiro ulikito, if you rent from the sar, the governor, the mayor, or one of his representatives, mahani, shahare yesh loy reshus l'choyshev anoshev chlimachamdev, if the government has a right to deposit their equipment or their soldiers at a time of war, b'bote b'nei u'ir, b'shas mochama, shloy midaitem, against you will, that is sufficient. Let's just finish up the next thing.
You know, the government also has the right of eminent domain.
Okay, Kobe, that's what we discussed yesterday. So Kobe, that's enough. That's what we discussed yesterday. Is that enough? It appears from reading the Dirshu over here, that's a very big debate, because at this moment in time, they don't. There has to be a very, they have pressing need. So that's the debate. The eager thing that we rely on is, I don't know if I explained it correctly, is that besides the power over your Rishus, there's another completely different concept. Do they have right to leave their property in your home? In other words, the home is yours. Let's assume in America, the home is yours. No one is going to touch your property. Let's make believe there is no eminent domain. And in times of war, they're not allowed to put their soldiers. There's a new concept. Have we given them rights to deposit their property? We'll lend them. You can store a box of cereal in my home. If they're allowed to store a box of cereal in my home, so that's already enough. They're now the representatives, because they have cereal in our home. They have their water. They have their electricity. They have their utility. All these are different. It's a different din of resting their property in your home. It automatically makes them, to a certain degree, your representative. Let's finish up the simin. Yisraelim hadorim bechotzer yichidi beir shel einam yehudim. If a Jew lives in a single courtyard, in a city that is all non-Jewish, shim ukeves chaima, which is surrounded by a wall. So we have one courtyard. In this one courtyard, we have 10 Jews, and then the rest of the city there are 10,000 non-Jews. The Avru Yehudim Achedim Derech Sham. So what is the law? The law is that if you have one courtyard of Jews, you do not need to do Schiras Rishus. This is what we learned before. The only time you need to do Schiras Rishus is when you have at least two courtyards belonging to of Jews. Two against one. But if you have a situation where there is only one courtyard that belongs, that is owned by Jews, you're not required to do Schiras Rishus, because it's very rare. Here we have that very rare situation. We have a city, and the city has 10,000 courtyards, and they're all non-Jewish. There's one single courtyard that is Jewish, and this courtyard has made among themselves the Rebbe Chatzeros, and the city has a wall. So the city is called a Rishus Hayochet, and they want to carry on Shabbos. Go right ahead. You do not need to do Schiras Rishus from the government and from the other non-Jews, because you're one against many. And when you're one against many, Chazal did not apply the rule of requiring Schiras. But here we have a unique situation where there are guests for Shabbos. It's the summertime, and there's a courtyard at the other end of the city which has been rented out to a Hasidish couple, a family that has come here for Shabbos. So now on this particular Shabbos, there are two courtyards that are occupied by Jews, and there are 9,998 courtyards that are occupied by non-Jews. Two courtyards occupied by Jews, that triggers the halacha. We are required to do schirus. the whole year round. For 51 weeks of the year, we only have one courtyard of Jews. One courtyard of Jews does not require us to do schius. Now, on this particular Shabbos, there are two courtyards of Jews because a family has come to vacation here for this Shabbos. So there are two courtyards. So does that mean for this Shabbos we're required to do schius? Along comes the Bechaber and says, no, since this other courtyard are only temporary, they're only guests, they're not full-time residents, they're not going to ruin it for you, and you don't need to do with the non-Jews schius. V'avru Yehudim Achayrim Derech Sham B'Shabbos V'nis'ach Sinu B'chotzer Acheres, and they took up residence as a guest in another courtyard. Einam oisrim alehem. Why? The oireach ein oisr. A guest does not prohibit, does not trigger the requirement to do schiros. Umutalim l'talta b'chaloir. And the other courtyard that was carried throughout the entire city on all the other Shabbos, because there was a wall, and they made among themselves an eruv, can continue carrying even without schiros from the non-Jews. Okay, we'll stop here. 30 days. 30 days where it requires. Now we want to finish up the minhag, our fourth session.